Hello. Good to be with you all once again. Let's see. Several people have joined us already. I see the Potters are on. Rebecca apparently had to bow out, having some internet issues. Sorry to hear about that. I see Micah Dawson has popped in. Kathy Holmes as well. Kathy Cabe. The Hegmans, Letha, Patrick Rouse, Carol, and Valerie. So good to see all of you here today. Have you ever had a particular sin that haunts you? A sin that you've committed in the past, and it's something it's difficult for you to shake, something that is on your mind and something that bugs you, and you think about it every so often and you're ashamed. Well, you might have something like that, I don't know. But the Apostle Paul certainly did. And we see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 9. And in that particular verse, Paul informs us that he is the least of the apostles, or at least in his mind, he is the least of the apostles. And why is he the least to be an apostle? He doesn't even consider himself worthy. The verse says, "For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." So the thing is, he doesn't feel himself worthy because of a past sin, because of something that he had done. And based on this verse, it seems as though that particular sin still haunts him to this day. We'll look at that particular sin. We see it all the way back in Acts chapter 7. In Acts chapter 7, we see that a sermon that is preached by someone with a very awesome name. I think that I can't remember the name right now, but the name is Stephen. Stephen preaches this great sermon here in Acts chapter 7, and in verse 58, we find that they stone Stephen, they kill him. And at the latter half of that verse, it says, "And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul." In chapter 8 and verse 1, just a few verses later, Luke says, "Now Saul was consenting to his death." Saul was consenting to his death. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging them off, men and women, committing them to prison. So we note from what we read earlier that this is something that has bothered him ever since. Once he realized what he had done was wrong, it's something that was haunting him, and something that was that he was ashamed of. He thought back about those things, and he was ashamed of his past actions. And in fact, I wonder about that. Well, actually, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, we see something about the conversion of Saul. Saul, of course, later turns out to be the Apostle Paul. And we see here in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man. And I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus." So, despite the fact that he had done something that was so terrible, so horrible, he recognized that he had done so in unbelief. He was a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, and yet he obtained mercy. He obtained the grace of God to the point where he was able to call himself an apostle of Jesus Christ. And as we looked at the book of Galatians last, I believe it's the book of Galatians, where it says that he is not he is no less than the greatest of the apostles. He is a great apostle of Jesus Christ that we have here, that wrote a good number of the books of the Bible. And yet he was able to obtain, and because of that sin, he was able to obtain the grace of God. Another thing that makes me think, it just makes me think about some of the things that we read about Paul here. You know what Stephen's name means? His name is Stephanos in Greek, and that is the name, well, that is the word for crown. So I have to wonder if this is a sin that is particularly bothersome to the Apostle Paul, something that any mention of that incident calls to mind something dreadful. I find the name or the word crown in some very interesting places in the writings of Paul. We find in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 that he is striving for not a perishable crown, but an imperishable crown, something that cannot die, something that is so great and so heavenly and so wonderful and so amazing. He has turned it around. He might be thinking of Stephen, the man whose death he was consenting to. But he's looking toward heaven. He's looking toward heaven. We see also the last letter that Paul writes is the letter to Timothy, 2 Timothy. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8, Paul knows he's about to die. We see that in chapter 4 and verse 7, verses 6 and 7. He knows that his time is up. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. He knows he's about to go. And then in verse 8, he says, "Finally, brethren, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness." Yes, this thing may be one of the worst things that I've ever done, but in heaven is the best thing that I don't deserve, waiting for me. And not for me only, but for all who love his appearing. Man, he's turned his lowest point into his greatest point. And really, it isn't him. It's the Lord who does that. And that's true for all of us, isn't it? The sins that we've committed in our past, if we're a Christian, if we have obeyed the gospel, he has forgiven us. He has forgiven us. We have obtained the grace of God. We've obtained his mercy. And that low point is turned into a high point. His grace covers us. His blood covers us, covers our sin, takes it away. And heaven is waiting for us. Man, isn't that great? Isn't that wonderful? We don't have to worry about those dark days. Now, they may still haunt us. We may still be ashamed of those things. But we should know that we've been forgiven. We should know that his blood has covered us, and that we have a crown of righteousness waiting for us. Man, isn't that great? I encourage you to turn your sin to God. Let him take care of it. Let his blood cover your sins, take care of them, wash them away. And the way we can do that is by becoming a Christian, by believing that Jesus is the Son of God, by repenting of our sins, turning away from them. Did Paul turn away from his sins? Of course. He believed on the road to Damascus that Jesus was the Christ. He repented of his sins. We see the evidence of his repentance is throughout Acts chapter 9. We find that he confesses the name of Christ, and of course, he is baptized. In fact, Acts chapter 22, verse 16, "Why are you waiting now? Arise. be baptized, wash away your sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. If you need to call upon his name through baptism, I encourage you to do that right now. Now, we'll see some instructions on the screen in just a minute on how you can do that. And you will, and you can let us know if that is something that you need to do. Please, I encourage you, become a Christian. Have your sins washed away. If you are already a Christian and your sins are still bothering you, your sins are still haunting you, know that you've been forgiven and that your sins are washed away. But if you need prayers for any of those things, let us know about that too. Please, get right with God today if that is something you need to do. I encourage you to let us know these things as we sing this song.